And thank you, Picker. I like hearing that song first thing here on Sunday morning. And good morning to all you listeners out there. My name is R.T. Lowe, and you're listening to For Your Information here on Cox Radio. For Your Information is a public affairs program, and we try to have somebody from the community come in and tell us about what they do in the community and the things that they are involved with. And I have a great guest today. He has the position of being, I guess, the first piece of the judiciary that most people get involved with. He's a justice of the peace in Liberty County Precinct 6, and his name is Judge Ralph Fuller. Do I still have you on the line, Judge Fuller?
Yes, sir.
Is it properly Justice Fuller or Judge Fuller?
Either way.
Either way, okay.
Either way is good.
I yep. just realized.
They call us justices or judges.
Just realize that justice is the peace, so people didn't know if they needed to call you a justice. I'm sorry, what?
Most people call me judge.
Just judge, okay.
Yes, sir.
Some people may not know you, so what we'll do is get you to tell us a little bit about yourself. We'll start out with that.
Okay. Like you said, my name's Ralph Fuller. I was born in Houston many years ago. We moved to Cleveland. My parents were both from here, so they moved back here when I was, I don't know, maybe one or two. Grew up here in this community in Cleveland. I guess back in early 90s, 91, I became a deputy, got into law enforcement. Did that for 22, I believe, years. I know y'all remember Judge Dunn, retired.
All right.
Back in 2013, and I've been here since.
So you've been at it for a few years as Justice of the Peace. And
yes, sir.
You're basically a Cleveland person. So
oh, yes, sir.
Spent most of your life here. That's good to know. You know, I think folks would also be interested in knowing exactly what a Justice of the Peace is and what they do. So if you don't mind, Judge Fuller, tell us a little bit about your job. And well, to start with, how'd you get it after Judge Peggy Dunn retired?
She retired early in the term before her term was up. So the Commissioner's Court, when that happens, Commissioner's Court appoints someone to finish out a term. So there was several applicants applied for the position. They had interviews. I was awarded the position up until the election. I believe my law enforcement experience and my experience in the county and in the community helped me gain that position at that time. Then after that, I signed up for the run in the election, and I believe there was four of us total in that election, and I was elected without a runoff between the four of us.
All right, so that basically you were appointed, and then you ran for the office, and the folks evidently were pleased with what you had done in your first time you were in there. So you got elected to the position, and what all do you do as a Justice of the Peace?
Well, we handle criminal cases that doesn't have jail time with it, you know, such as Class C misdemeanors. You know, if a deputy writes you a ticket or a trooper or whoever, they'll put it in this precinct or whatever precinct you happen to be in at the time, and it'll come to my court. And you know, lots of times I don't see the people that are in the violation. They just come up and pay it and done with it. Some people ask for trials. We have bench trials or jury trials. We don't have very many, especially jury trials. Most people ask for a bench trial, and I'm always fair and impartial, and sometimes the defendant wins and sometimes the state wins, just according to how the evidence falls.
Who would prosecute those cases?
The county attorney.
Oh, okay. And yes, and where's your court located?
Right here in Cleveland at the Cleveland Annex, where you pay you get your tags and driver's license office and all that. We're in the same building.
So basically, most people have a pretty good idea of where you're located. And is your office in that same building? I guess so, right?
Yes, sir. Same building.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I thought I'd ask who actually prosecuted, because I didn't know.
Right, yeah. So yeah, for the county attorney's office prosecution. Now, they may send, you know, different attorney over each time, you know, it's regarding who's doing what that week, I guess.
And other things that the Justice of the Peace does?
We handle lots of different things. That's what's so great and unique about the Justice of the Peace. We handle everything from dangerous dog hearings to cruelty-treated animals, debt claims, you know, if a credit card company is suing somebody over unpaid credit cards, we have those hearings. We also do occupational driver license. The law was changed, I think, maybe 3 years ago to where Justice of the Peace would handle the occupational driver license because it was so expensive for people to go try to get an occupational license at county court, hire an attorney and everything. They wanted to make it more available for the people because they were having so much trouble paying their fines and their surcharges, and most of it's about surcharges that they owe the state for the reason their license are invalid. So that helps them to be able to get that license so they can drive, so they can pay their surcharges.
What is an occupational driver's license?
It's just when somebody has surcharges that they owe the state because they had a denied license or whatever and they got a ticket, so their license are held up because they owe money to the state for surcharges, and that means their license are invalid. So every time they get stopped, they're going to get another ticket for invalid driver's license, or they're going to go to jail.
Yeah.
So they can't hardly drive to go to work. So this occupational, it allows them to drive up to 12 hours a day, and the judge, I will determine whether they should or should not qualify for it. I'll put down certain routes, certain times of the day that they can drive, and that is their driver's license until the paperwork reaches Austin, and they will issue them an occupational driver's license.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I didn't know that there was an allowance for that. Well, it makes sense because you can't pay your fine if you can't get
right
to work.
Right, and that's what the states have realized, that you got to allow people to get to work if they're going to want their money. So it works out pretty good. It helps a lot of people.
And we're speaking with Justice of the Peace, Precinct 6, Ralph Fuller. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I got to make sure the people know who is telling us this information.
Yes, sir.
So what else is on the, I hate to use this, but on the docket for the Justice of the Peace?
Well, evictions. We do a lot of evictions. You know, with being in the city of Cleveland here, we have a lot of apartments and rental property.
Mm.
So, you know, we have usually several evictions a week. So we have those hearings. Probably more than anything else is evictions, more than any other hearing that we have as far as civil.
Do you handle much criminal-type cases?
No, sir. Most of our criminal cases is only, like I say, it's the only thing that we handle is non-jailable offenses. So it's going to be Class C stuff. It's fine only.
Okay.
Only time anything above that is when I do magistration at the jail. People are arrested, you know, overnight for DWI or assault or whatever the charge might be. Then we'll set their bonds, issue emergency protective orders on assaultive cases, you know, involving family members, issue interlocking devices, you know, orders on DWIs on second offense or more. That's pretty much it as far as the gist of it on magistration at the jail.
It's my understanding that at one time the Justice of the Peace also was basically the coroner. Or
yes, sir.
Is that still the case here?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We may be out on a fatality accident at 3 a.m. and be at the jail doing magistration at 7. Oh, yeah. That's the hardest part is the getting up in the middle of the night. You know, sometimes you might get up twice in the middle of the night to have to go out. And it doesn't have to be an accident or a homicide or anything, even a natural death. You know, if it's at home or if it's, you know, someone that's not under a doctor's care at the time, then we have to go out and do an inquest and find out the cause and manner of death.
So you're in charge of deciding, I guess, whether or not autopsies and things like
right,
that?
That's right. Yeah, our job is to, you know, the old saying is not true on the, we're pronouncing them dead because, you know, if someone wasn't dead, we wouldn't be called. It's our job is to find out the cause of death. That's what the inquest is. So, you know, if we have enough information from family or, you know, they may be at the emergency room but just went there and EMS may have worked on them. And if we can get enough information without doing an autopsy, we do. But if we can't get enough information, which happens a lot of time, we can't get enough information to determine the cause of death. We'll know it's natural, but we don't know what natural, you know. So we'll order an autopsy.
Oh, okay.
They'll go to Beaumont for the autopsy. The county has a contract with Beaumont Examiner over there to take care of that.
Now, I didn't realize that if you think it's natural but you're not positive, you're supposed to do an autopsy too, huh?
Yeah, well, if you're not sure of the cause, you know, if you'll know it. You might know it's natural because they've been sick, but, you know, you don't know if it was a heart attack or kidney failure or what, you know, and to do a death certificate, you're going to have to know the cause of death. So therefore, you have to send off for an autopsy so you can have that cause of death, not just the manner. The manner is the natural, but you got to have the cause.
All right.
You know, the manner would be natural or homicide or suicide or accident.
Now, see, I didn't realize that. I always just assumed that if it was what we consider natural death, that's it.
Right. But, yeah. Now we have to know the cause also.
All right. That's a bit of information that I didn't have any idea about. Are we missing anything else of the general duties of a justice of the peace?
Well, let's see. We issue warrants. You know, if a deputy or a trooper comes in and has information or probable cause to get a warrant, it could be any type of warrant, you know, from Class C all the way up to capital felonies, you know, just anything at all. We get a lot of burglary warrants, you know, that they've investigated it and they find out, you know, through statements and evidence that they have a suspect, then they'll come in with a probable cause affidavit. I'll read over the affidavit and see if there's probable cause to arrest this individual for the charge, and I'll issue a warrant and they'll go arrest him.
We're speaking with Justice of the Peace Ralph Fuller, and he's Liberty County Precinct 6. That's something else I'd like to touch on. People get confused sometime when we're talking about the county because, well, you got four commissioners and they have precincts, you know, precinct 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then all of a sudden you got a Justice of the Peace and he's precinct, let's say precinct 3, but it's not the same as a commissioner
right.
is. How do they set up who gets what area in the county?
You know, there are six JPs. That's why there's kind of a line that crosses, I guess you could say, there between the commissioners and the JPs and the constables. The constables and the JPs have the same precinct lines.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to kind of cross commissioners' lines. Commissioners have a little bit bigger area, and that's about all it boils down to, is they have a little bit bigger area in their precinct because there's only four of them. Like my line is, you know, kind of crosses at the Bow, Tarkenton Bow, goes all the way down the Harris County line and Plum Grove, Sandy Santa County line on 59, and Montgomery County line.
Yeah, I didn't realize you touched three different counties.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you're one precinct then?
Right. Sure does. It's a unique precinct.
As we were saying, the Justice of the Peace, you said that the constable, y'all share the same precinct, so you work pretty hand in hand with the constable, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, the constable serves my civil process, the eviction civil process, and certain small claims cases, and people are, you know, suing individuals. That's another thing we do on small claims, up to $10,000.
Oh, okay. So you oversee lawsuits, huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It used to be up to $5,000 a few years ago. They changed it to up to $10,000 on lawsuits.
in those type of cases, how does it come before you? How do they decide? Is it just like any other suit? You have to have a lawyer, or can you do it yourself?
No, sir. Yes, sir. You can do it yourself. That's kind of what the Justice Court is for. It's called the People's Court. It's so it can be more relaxed environment. There's not as much of attorney affiliated where you have these certain terms and people have to know the rulings and objections, and you don't understand what I'm saying about the
what do they call
it? Complicated, put it that way. So a common person can come in here and have their case heard and not have to worry about a specific order,
knowing which former court case was ruled
this
way. I guess you could say your rulings are more on the common sense.
That's a lot of it. Well, the rulings are not so much on common sense, but you get to listen to more of the evidence. You know, you can listen to hearsay evidence and different evidence that's not allowed in a different setting, in different courts. You're able to make decisions. You're making it off of some of the common sense you heard, and then just apply that to the law.
Oh, okay.
But I guess we have a little more leeway to go because we don't have, the attorneys that know the rules to object to something that was said that we can listen to that they wouldn't be able to in district court.
You and I were talking about this before we went on the air. You're not an attorney yourself, right?
That's right.
You were in law enforcement, which you obviously had to know a lot about the law. But you have training, right, as far as being a justice of the peace?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, the first year you have to take, I believe it's 80 hours of mandatory training and a justice of the peace seminar, which is Texas Justice Court Training Center puts that on. And then after that, it's 20 hours every year.
So they keep you up to date every year.
Yes, sir.
Refresher courses and things like that.
Right.
And I guess in Texas, every 2 years, you also have to be versed on changing laws, right?
That's right. We have to go to an update class on that. And we get emails from the training center and webinars, different all kind of training material that's available to us. We have a question board. We can get on there and ask any type of legal question. They'll answer it for us. It's a pretty unique setup for us.
Sounds like that's a lot better than it was even 10 years ago with using the internet and stuff to get your information with.
Yes, sir. It helps a lot.
And we're speaking with Ralph Fuller. He's a Justice of the Peace in Liberty County Precinct 6. And we were just talking about law changes. Something else you and I talked about just before we went on the air. One of the changes has been the way you deal with minors, right? In school?
Yes, sir, as far as truancy?
Yes.
Yes, sir. The legislators changed that, I believe it was maybe 3 years ago. The truancy by a child is no longer a criminal civil case, and they put a lot more restraints on the school district to have to go through a certain process instead of, putting that criminal record on that child. The school has to do a lot of things that, in the end, usually is not going to put that child in court. They're going to be able to handle it through their process.
And I guess a lot of the schools, like Cleveland, obviously, they have their own police department, and they probably handle a lot of that kind of stuff just internally, right?
Yes, sir, but the truancy, the police department won't be able to handle it because it's not a crime as far as the child is concerned.
Okay, so
they can file on the parent if the parent is contributing to it. If the parent's the one not bringing the kid. Sometimes it's parents pull up there and let the kid out at the front door, and the kid goes out the back door. And we were having to fine the parents for that by law, and it really didn't seem fair. So they changed that, and they put the responsibility of the school district to prove that parent knew that child was not fulfilling their obligation at school.
Well, that makes more sense.
Cause, yes, it sure does.
These days, kids seem to be able to, they've learned a lot quicker, I'll put it that way, it seems.
Yeah, I'm telling you they have.
Now, you were talking about the different types of cases you hear and things like that. So tickets written by constables and maybe the sheriff's department, anybody else?
The Cleveland ISD school, they write tickets here. The sheriff's department, the constables, any of them can write a ticket in this court.
DPS?
DPS writes theirs here, yes, sir.
Oh, you get to deal with everybody, huh?
Yes, sir. We deal with a lot. I have two clerks that are outstanding. I wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't have time to sit here and talk to you for 5 minutes if it wasn't for them.
Yeah, I would imagine they keep you pretty busy.
They are pretty busy. Them girls are constantly busy. Between the civil and the criminal, it's a constant flow for them. Yeah, they also have to go to training every year.
Man, I can't imagine. I was just thinking of how much this part of the county has grown over the years. At one time, it hadn't been that long ago that basically the JP's job was considered a part-time job.
Yes, sir.
That's all no longer acceptable, is it?
Well, it's not part-time. It's more of full-time, but not all at the same time, if you know what I mean. You know, I might go home at 10 o'clock one morning, but I might work half the night also, you know. So it's a come-and-go thing. It's not an 8-to-5 job, put it that way.
Yeah, sadly, a lot of your call-outs are shortly after 2 o'clock on weekends, huh?
You just never know. I mean, it's all hours of day and night.
Yep.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week is how often we're on call.
I wasn't thinking when I said that. I was thinking that about the deaths that would be involved with DUIs or car wrecks and stuff, you know, when the bars close. But deal with all deaths. So.
All of it, yeah. Even if EMS picks someone up there at their home and takes them up here to the emergency room, they may pick them up in a different precinct, you know, anywhere in the county or in San Jacinto County or in Montgomery County. And if they're close to this emergency room, they're going to bring them here. And if they die here at this emergency room, or a lot of times, you know, they're deceased when they arrive, I have to go up there and determine the cause of death, do an inquest.
It's how do you get any sleep? I guess in pieces, huh?
It's not that bad. It's just when it is, it's bad. It's not that often at night. I mean, you know, it's sometimes at night. At daytime, I mean, I've had to leave grandkids' birthday parties and everything you can think of in the middle of something, you know, to go do it. But just what we do.
And we're speaking with Ralph Fuller. He's a Justice of the Peace, Precinct 6 here in Liberty County. And as you were saying, you do a lot of different things, court cases too. If we were talking about the different types of cases that you handle, what do you see the most of in your court?
Probably the most repetitious would be evictions.
Okay, so you handle a lot of those, huh?
Yes, sir.
What happens in a general eviction case? Can you give them 3 days and they're out, or is there more to it than that?
The plaintiff, which would be the landlord, will give them a 3-day notice or a 30-day notice, according to what, you know, different. There's a lot of different laws on that. It'd take me a while to go through all of that, but. Basically, according to what your lease says on that, normally it's a 3-day eviction notice. The landlord will give the tenant that 3-day eviction notice to vacate the premises. If they don't vacate within that 3 days, they can come up here on the 4th day and file for an eviction. And we will set a court date and give the complaint to the constable's office. They'll go out and serve the tenant. And we'll have the court date, and if they show up, I'll listen to both sides and make a ruling for the plaintiff or for the defendant, whichever case may be. And if it's for non-payment rent, you know, usually they're asking for you know, 1 to 2, 3, 4 months back rent, whatever they owe. And I'll award that plus court cost. And then they'll have 5 days to appeal that to county court if, you know, if they're not happy with my decision. Then if they don't appeal it within the 5 days, then that's when they're supposed to move out. If they don't move out, then the landlord has to come up and file for a writ of possession. And that is given to the constable's office also. And they go out and post the writ of possession telling the tenant that they have to move out and give them a certain amount of time to be out. And the constable's office will work with the landlord and set up a time to remove them and their property from the premises if they're not out at that time.
Wow, it is an intricate.
Yes, sir.
I had no idea it was that involved. You may be involved with the same eviction or the same problem for a month.
Yes, sir. That's right.
How does the citizenry contact you if they feel a need to talk to you?
You mean the phone number?
Yes. How would they contact you? You have a website or is it just
the
phone?
We have an email. It's you want me to give it over there? It's fine if you want it.
If you can.
Yes, sir. It's jp6@co.liberty.tx.us. And that's my email. If they can email, and it's on the county website, Liberty County website also. But that is the email address, and I do get emails from time to time. And the only thing that I have to say is that I can't give legal advice. And if you're wanting to know something, how to file a case or what to do on a case or anything like that, I can't talk about that. Any kind of case that's coming up. But if you have some question on a ticket you got, on as far as when can you come up, or just need me to call you or whatever, something like that's fine. But I get a lot of people that come up and they want to talk to me about their case, and I can't do that. I can't talk to one party without the other party there. It's called a ex parte hearing, and that's against the rules.
You can't do that. And,
right.
And I guess that's one of the things that people do get confused with. Why can't I talk to him?
And a lot of it is, you know, I've lived here all my life, which is over 50 years, let me just put it that way. And I know a lot of people. I'm kin to a lot of people. I know people that are kin to people. And you know, they come up and want to talk to me. Well, you know, I've talked to them all their lives, but I can't talk to them now. They just don't understand it.
Not about the case, huh? Well, Justice Fuller, I appreciate you being my guest today. I hope that we got a lot of people out there informed on what some of your job is. Anyway, we didn't get to all of it, but
we just touched on it a little bit.
But thank you for being on.
Yes, sir. Let me know if you need anything.
All right. Thank you, Judge.
Yes, sir.
That wraps up our Public Affairs for your information program for today. Thanks for tuning in to Cox Radio, and Pickard, key up your flat top and take us on home.